Hello, everyone, and welcome to our new episode with the Raw Talks, straight from the farm. And today we have our breathwork teacher live with us, John Paul Krimming.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the jungle, I was about to say.
I wish I was there in the jungle with you guys. It looks so amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's very peaceful.
Yeah.
So how are you today?
I'm fantastic. Life is great and everyone is good. And it's great to be back to normal life, if that's what we are back to, right? Like, yeah. Or at least somewhat normal life, right?
But it feels like it.
Feels like it, yes. Depends on where you go, I think.
Yeah, true.
True. Yeah.
All right. So today we're going to talk all about transformation. And we know you a little bit already, but you've been through a massive transformation in your own life.
Yeah. Yes. Several.
Yeah. And yeah, breathwork is one of the things that you've been using. Would you mind sharing a little bit about your transformation?
Sure. Which one do you want to know about first? Breathwork?
No, your personal one.
Personal one. Well, I've had a few transformations, you know. You know, life, it just depends on, you know, how you want to what your perspective is of the transformation. So, you know, when I lost my hair, and I started losing my hair when I was in my mid-20s, like 24, 25, I have alopecia. And so that was a physical transformation, which led to a transformation in my health. I quit drugs and alcohol. I quit using drugs and alcohol. So that physical health issue led to a transformation in what I look like. And then that led to me getting sober, which led to a transformation, right? Which led to me helping other people. And that's a transformation. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes these things stack on top of each other, right? It's really powerful. And so that was kind of the first big, huge transformation, that one right after another. And then I found breathwork probably about 11 years ago, over a decade ago. And that was another massive transformation. So I've had a few.
Wow. I mean, transformation, how do you view transformation? I see it like as the most powerful gift that we can give ourselves to grow.
Yeah. But people have to want it, or they have to be forced into it, right? Like, it doesn't just go, everything in your life isn't just grand and going great. And you're like, I think I need a transformation. That's not where it comes from. Yeah. It comes from, you know, usually pain, emotional or physical, or a combination of the two, right? That's what started mine. So somebody gets some life-threatening disease or an accident or something happens, right? Or they lose somebody close to them. So something usually has to happen, some sort of conflict, internal or external conflict, that creates that transformation, though, that puts us on that transformational journey,
yeah,
I think, right? And that's been my story most of the time.
Yeah. What do you see in yourself? Because I'm super interested in the qualities that people have inside themselves. Because when we're in this pain, right, and in this situation, it's usually, as you said, it's not great. And for many people, it can be super heavy, and that they don't know how to get out of it. For me, it was like there was this feeling inside. I mean, I was also on drugs and alcohol, and I was working myself to collapse and all kinds of stuff. But to me, it wasn't available, like exactly how I was going to move forward. But I could feel inside of me that I was like, there has to be something else than this. There was like a spark inside of me that was creating this transformation.
Sure.
So I'm very interested.
So you had a willingness to go, you know, I'm not ready to give up.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to quit on myself. And maybe I'm desperate enough to try something that I would never try before. Right. And that's kind of how recovery works. That's kind of how breathwork works. I'll have people that know me, that know I teach breathwork for years, and they're not interested. And then something in their life falls apart, and then suddenly they're interested. They're like, okay, I'm so uncomfortable. I'm so miserable. I'm so unhappy. I'm willing to try your weird breathwork class, guy. Or, you know, the same thing with drugs and alcohol. It's like, you know, I'm so unhappy. I'm so miserable. My wife's throwing me out, or I've been fired from my job, or I've lost this thing. I'm willing to go to recovery, to a 12-step recovery program, and let some other person, some stranger that I don't even know, give me direction on my life. I mean, that's what it takes. It takes a massive amount of conflict, whether it's internal or external, for me to go take directions from someone that I don't even know that may or may not change my life. And so that's kind of why at the start of all my classes, I say this thing. I say, breathwork may not be your thing. You don't have to love breathwork. But if you can have an open mind and try something different, then maybe you'll just have an experience that will change the course of your life. And everyone thinks they have an open mind, but everyone doesn't. But people who don't have open minds are like, I have an open mind. And I'm like, okay. So I'm kind of letting them off the hook. I'm kind of going like, okay, you know, listen, this, you don't have to love this because your wife or your friend dragged you to this thing. But if you just try it, if you can just try it and go for it, like maybe something will happen. The beauty of breath work for me is like, you don't have to like it. You don't have to believe in it. You don't have to think it's going to work. If you just do it, if I can just get you to do it, you're going to have an experience. In fact, some of those people who are like cynical and don't want to be there, they have the biggest experiences in my classes. And that's the thing I love about it. Like if you don't have to believe in it, kind of like, I think Reiki, like you have to kind of believe in it. But like breathwork, you don't. If I can just get you to lay on the floor and breathe in this way, you're going to crack open. In fact, those people who are so cynical and then pushing that stuff down inside of them, which is me, like I'm that guy. When I first went to breathwork, I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. I've done a lot of dumb things in my life, but to pay for a class to breathe is the top of the list. And I laid down and I was like, oh my God, this teacher's the worst and the music and it's awful. And I just did it like a workout. And I had this incredible experience where I cracked open and years of stuff left me, trauma and all this stuff. And I cried in a way that I'd never cried in my life. And it was life-changing in that first session. Now, I didn't believe anything was going to happen. And I've seen that same experience from so many other people, like myself, have that experience. So that's the thing I love about breathwork, is it's going to create that transformation. Maybe not for everybody, but for most people, for a lot of people.
Do you see the people who it's not working for? Do you see a trend in those people?
No, there's no, that's the odd thing. There's, so it works, I want to say like 95% of the room, right? And I have huge classes of like 300 people now. So it's like a few people that don't get it in that 300 people. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you're not ready. Maybe it's not your thing. You know, someone told me, I was in the method acting program in my early 20s when I lost my hair. And we did all kinds of stuff in that program. And then, you know, whatever it was, 20 years later, I was teaching breathwork. And one of my fellow students in that program reached out. And he's like, I can't believe you teach breathwork. And I was like, why? And he goes, because we did it in the method acting program and you hated it. And I was like, really? I don't even remember that. So I just wasn't ready. Yeah. You know, I wasn't ready, and maybe I didn't know I wasn't doing it right or something like that. You know, I have had people come up to me and their eyes are like giant saucers and they're like, I didn't feel anything. Nothing happened to me in that class. And are like, or they're like totally stoned and out of it. And they're like, nothing happened. I'm like, okay, well, you don't look like that, but you know, you look like something happened. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but so, and I've had people, like my wife is one of them, and someone very close to me, a mentor, they both did it a handful of times and like sort of didn't have an experience. And then they had an experience after like a bunch of sessions. Like my wife had never had an experience, and maybe because it was me leading the class and she's like, you know, can't go there with my bullshit, you know, like, so, and same with my mentor, like they just know me too well. They know all my stuff. So they're not like able, it took them a bunch of times to kind of let go of the idea that it's me leading. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's a weird thing that happens where most people come and they have this big experience right off the bat. But yeah. Some people have to do it a few times. And I think some of those people, they back off. they start to feel like the tingling in their arms or in their face, and they get scared and they back off. Or they start to feel the emotions coming up, the tears and the emotions, and they don't want to feel that, and they back off. Mm. And so they need to come a few times so they can keep like taking bigger bites of the breath work to kind of go there fully. So I think that's a common thing too. I know that the addicts and the alcoholics in the room, as soon as they start to feel anything or weird, they try to suck all the air out of the room. So I like can look around and be like, there's an addict, there's an alcoholic, I can like tell who they are because they're like going super hard trying to take all the air from the room. So that's kind of a joke that I have inside. Like, I'm like, And then the normal people, there have been so many people that I've like watched or done private sessions with that it barely looks like they're getting anything out of it. And I'm like, nothing's happening for this person. Oh my God. And then they sit up and they're like, that was amazing. I can't even tell you what happened all this time. And I'm like, really? I like the whole time I'm thinking like, nothing's happening for this person. Yeah. Nothing is happening. Can't believe this. And like, they're going to be upset that they have to pay me all this money. And then nothing happened. And that's never happened. It's never, that's never been the case. So.
Yeah. I feel that too. Sometimes when I feel like, oh, nothing's happening. Shit. And then I
know
just
what's going on in someone's internal world when they're doing the breath work. It's obvious when they have this big emotional release, this big emotional cry. And we think like, yeah, we nailed it. Like we got that client. Like I'm going around the room and I'm just a gunslinger trying to get people to cry and crack open. And I'm like, yep, got him. And then that person's having nothing. And I'm like, shit, there, nothing's happening there. But I don't know what their internal experience is. No. And it's taken me a decade to just go like, I'm just going to do the best class that I can. Right. Like I just get up there and teach the best class that I can. And the results are none of my business.
Yeah.
Breath work is the thing. Like I'm not responsible. My job is to create a safe space, try and get people set up as safely as I can and get them to know that they're safe. It's okay. You know, and guide them, push them and guide them as best I can. And the results are up to them and the universe. It has nothing to do with me. And that also is very freeing as a teacher because you can go like, I'm not responsible. I'm not the one doing the thing. Right. So I can let go of my ego there. I'm not this all powerful breathwork guru. The breath is the guru.
Yeah.
And I'm not responsible whether or not they have an experience or not.
No. I mean,
I think that for me, that's the best place to operate from. Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's the thing with transformation. If we're back to the transformation, it's each and everyone's responsibility and experience with their own transformation. And it's their relationship with the tool or the breathwork or the breath in itself. It's like the universe, you know, it's like it's their relationship with it.
We're just a guide, you know, we're just there to point them in the right direction. I'm a lighthouse shining the light on the rocks and saying, this is the way to steer the ship. And it's up to you if you want to steer the ship that way around the rocks or not. And if, you know, I say this all the time, is if you're looking for somebody to save you, like look in the mirror, because you need to save yourself. We can point you in the direction and you can find people who are going to save you. And then that can become an addiction all in itself. It's like, I'm going to keep going to this program and that program and this program. But at some point you just got to sit still and just do the work on yourself.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, you just got to develop your own routine of things that have worked for you and do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you use your own transformation story a lot to inspire people?
I think so. I try to. You know, I think like for my students who become teachers, right? Like they want to tell their story and they think it's really important and everybody wants to hear it. But people really want to know like what you're going to do for them. Like I'm depressed. I got anxiety. You know, I've got stress and anxiety. Like, can you help me? I don't care about your story, ball guy. I don't care that you lost your hair and that this, I think once you do a class with them and they feel that incredible shift, then they're more interested in your story. Then they're like, okay, what's this guy's story? But until then, like maybe not. I don't know, you know, but I use it. I tell my story. I think when you teach from that, one of the things I was just telling someone, they're like, well, why is this 5-day detox course that you do important, right? With the teacher training. And I'm like, well, it's important because you don't want to just be teaching from the place of JP told me to do this. You want to teach from the place of, I've had a massive transformation from breath work. And that is why it's so powerful. Like I've transformed my life, and I've watched it transform thousands of other people's lives. That's a powerful place to teach from. Right. Instead of just like, breath work is amazing. And, you know, it's just like regurgitating the script that I give you in the training. No, you want to teach from that place of transformation, and you want to like share from that place of your own personal transformation through breath work.
Yeah.
That's what's powerful.
Yeah. Simba.
Yeah. No, I'm just enjoying here. I'm just feel like I'm watching it live. Yeah, no, like, yeah, I really agree. That's really how we look at it. Like, we are not, I mean, I'm a facilitator for this tool, but the tool is what's really going to do the healing. And I'm all about that, teaching from your own place of experience, because that's more powerful. And that's kind of what we did the other weekend, right? We had a big group, and I just, everything you said, I was just hearing, you know, I was seeing some people crying, and then a lot of people just lying and breathing and were very still. And I was like, shit, this isn't really working. And, you know, my head started spinning. And then afterwards, everyone was like, that was amazing. And, you know, everyone just shifted, like they came out and the faces were completely different. So I think it's as much of a process for ourselves as for others to witness that, you know, what goes on in me and expectations. And yeah, I just think it's an amazing tool. What would you say, like, when you teach big groups, like, do you, you said, like, different themes coming into the groups, or is it more like you invite people in just to have, like, a normal session, or do you create, like, a special atmosphere, ambiance, or kind of storyline or anything like that?
Well, it depends on the group. So, you know, when I do my weekly Zoom classes online on Sunday, I have a theme. And you know, the theme could be breathwork to clear stress and anxiety. I think that's next week's theme, right? The last week was like breathwork for boundaries and self-care. And it doesn't really like the, I'll weave that theme throughout the class. I'll say certain things that have to do with that theme. And I'll talk about it as well, but the theme doesn't matter because the breathwork is going to give you whatever it is you need at that moment. So if you're coming in, you just lost someone close to you and you're coming in with all this grief, the theme of boundaries and self-care or the theme of stress and anxiety, that doesn't matter because the breathwork is going to help you with the grief. Breathwork is the best thing I've ever found for grief. So it's going to clear that grief because grief, it gets stuck in the lungs and it gets stagnant and we need to move it through us. So it doesn't really matter what the theme is. Now, with a really big class, like an in-person class, that's 300 people, I have a general thing. Right. It's like transformational breathwork with gong sound healing. And that's kind of a thing because there's 300 people in the room that have 300 things going on. Right. And so I just trust that the breathwork is going to do for each of them what it needs to do. So I teach, it's a general class, but it doesn't feel that way to the person who's doing the breathwork. They feel like I'm speaking directly to them every time. And they'll be like, oh my God, that song that you played is the song that my father loves when, you know, whatever. And oh my God, that thing that you said about this, it's like you were speaking right to me because I'm going through this breakup. And so they're feeling it right for them. And that's the beauty of this breath work. It's really incredible. Whatever you're going through, whether it's grief, a breakup, fear, financial insecurity, whatever, you know, health issues, the breath work is going to deliver what it is you need to deliver, but you have to show up and do the work. Nobody can transform you. You have to show up for your own transformation. Nobody can breathe for you. You have to show up and do the breath work. And so that's the key thing right there. If you're looking for, you know, what is the common thing? I think Sarah, you were saying like, what's the thing that I see in students that really get results? It's like a willingness to show up for themselves and be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to be a little uncomfortable because it's not easy. It's not hard. You're laying on the floor breathing. Most people have done harder shit in their life than lay on the floor and breathe, I hope, right? But it's also uncomfortable and it's weird. If you're not used to doing it, it feels weird. You feel sensations in your body and you don't expect all this stuff to come up during breath work. So it kind of freaks people out a little bit. And so you have to be like, oh my God, this is, I feel weird. I feel freaked out. And your brain is very powerful and your brain will tell you like, this is not good. Stop. I don't like it. And you have to override that. Yeah. So you have to be willing to be uncomfortable and you have to be willing to override your brain telling you to stop. And so that takes, I see people that sometimes their brain is just too powerful. Like it's taken over. It's like the spaceship Odyssey 2001. Like you've lost control of the ship and your brain is so powerful that you can't do it. You cannot push through and just lay there and breathe. It's pretty rare, but I see it. I see it happen to people. And those are the same people that have like severe anxiety to the point where they want to be medicated because they just like their brain is creating so much fear for them. Yeah. It's almost like it's just gone on some hyper overdrive and now it's out of control.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, there's a statistic, it's crazy, in America that 70% of people in America are on one prescription medication and 40% are on two. It doesn't mean it's like for psych meds or whatever, but, you know, medication, it just turns off the alarm. It doesn't put out the fire. Yeah. The fire is still happening inside of you. Whatever the problem is, the cause is, that's still happening. The medication's just turning off the alarm.
Yeah.
And so I'm not against medication if that's what's going to save your life in that moment. But I still think people need to work towards the causes and conditions of the problem. And I don't think a lot of people are doing that. They're like, okay, I'm on medication now. I'm all set. It's like, I don't know. Now the medication's causing all kinds of problems in itself, right? With the side effects of it. People, this is a funny thing, but people will be like, you know, I've got this anxiety or stress or depression. And the doctor will be like, here's this medication. It causes brain tumors and rectal bleeding and whatever. And they'll be like, okay. And they'll just take it. And then I'll be like, hey, why don't you try to lay on the floor and breathe? And they'll be like, well, I need to see the research on that first. And I'm like, okay, so you're fine with the medication that's going to cause rectal bleeding, but you need to see the research on laying down and breathing. Okay, go Google it. You know, like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Do you see that people are, like, waking up a little bit to this? I mean, there's a shift, like, when you... some people believe that the medication is the answer and that it's like they can't see beyond like, oh, there's something actually going on inside in the body. It's not just like wood and something soft. It's like there's actually a chemistry inside, like
there's a divide in the world today that's happening, right? And you got these people that are going this way over here and they're like, They're almost like science as religion. Like science has become like a dogmatic religion in itself. Like I'm going to take medication because it's science and a doctor gave it to me. And it's like, well, the pharmaceutical company made it and they don't really give a shit about anybody. That's kind of how I feel. And then there's other people that are like, I'm willing to try acupuncture and I'm willing to try yoga and breath work and whatever. And then hopefully some of those people who are over here with the medication and the different things will maybe have an open mind at some point and try some of these other things, try some of these alternatives. I think society is waking up to alternative, methods and techniques and things. I'm seeing, you know, I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, right? Which is kind of like conservative East Coast, right? And I'm seeing more and more Boston people coming to my classes online and also doing my teacher training. So I'm like, that's a sign to me that it's spreading, right? Like when I moved to LA, here's a good example. When I moved to LA, there was like 3 yoga studios. And now there's a million yoga studios in LA. And there's yoga studios all over the country, right? Yeah. And so it's spread, like yoga has spread. Yoga has been kind of acceptable, but a lot of people, yoga is hard for them because they're not flexible or they're too big or whatever. But everyone can lay on the floor and breathe. Now, I'm not saying breathwork is for everyone, but I'm saying everyone can at least do it or try it, right? So I think breathwork could be potentially much bigger than yoga in that sense. It's easier. And here's the big difference. Yoga is hard and it takes a long time to see results. Breathwork is immediate and it's undeniable. Like you can go do a breathwork session right now and feel immediate massive results in one session. And there's just not many things out there that can do that in one session, not holistically, right? No. In one session. And so that's why I think breathwork is growing pretty exponentially and pretty fast, right? Yeah. Really fast.
Yeah, so we were joining this fair, this Body, Mind, Spirit fair in Bangkok last weekend, and we did our first big group, which mm-hmm. was amazing. I feel that we might get a little bit like addicted to that.
Yeah, yeah. I know I am.
Wow, what was going on? And then people from the outside that was not in the breathwork came up to us afterwards. What did you do in there? Because yeah. people came out and everyone was weird.
Yeah. So I've done conferences, right? Where they're like 3 or 4 day conferences where I'm like the guy teaching breathwork in the mornings. And one of the conferences, this is a great example, had breathwork, it had yoga, and it had Tai Chi. And, you know, so everyone like divided up and just decided what they wanted to do. Well, day two, they put the Tai Chi guy outside and then expanded my room into his room. Day three, they put the yoga girl outside too. And so everyone was doing breathwork inside and people were doing it in the hallway outside of the doors with the doors closed and having an experience in the hallway outside of the doors with the doors closed. Because what happened was everybody who came that first day couldn't stop talking about their experience. So everyone else wanted to do it. And then it grew just virally in the conference like that fast. It was incredible. So I've seen it just like that in real time, because the people have a huge experience and then they go tell their friends and their family or whoever is there like, oh my God, did you do the breathwork this morning? No, you didn't do it. Oh, you got to try it. And you know, and so it's this wild thing. And I understand what you're saying. I have huge classes and every time the class gets bigger and bigger, I'm like, oh, it's even bigger. Like I'm probably addicted to big classes. I love it. You know, but I go to this, I fly to Los Angeles and I do a class in Los Angeles and the room that I use maxes out at 150 people. And that's half of what I'm doing here in Bend. And yet I still love that space. I still love that class. I still love doing it. I go there to do it. And I know it's not going to be bigger because the room is maxed out for me. Right. But I'm going to have an experience for me. Teaching the class is now better than doing the breath work, which is a wild transition that's happened for me.
Yeah.
I get as much or more out of teaching than I do the breath work, but it just depends, you know, yeah. too.
But it was interesting because that was the first time I met other people we met another guy. He was in a training and I was asking, oh, I'm doing a breathwork training. Okay, what kind of breathwork do you do? It's like a million breathworks out there.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm doing the transformational breathwork, the two-part breathwork, but with someone completely different. But it's like I'm also running into people who are doing this kind of breathwork now. So
it's growing.
It's
well, there's a lot of people out there teaching it now too. Like I've got there's a few copycats that have kind of copied my program. I don't know if we want to go down that road, but you know, there's some people out there. There's a lot of people out there teaching it. Let's put it that way.
Oh, so you mean like they copied your program and does a teacher training?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh, I created this teacher training and it's my teacher training. But and I'm like,
why don't you start a teacher trainer instead?
What do you mean?
To teach people to become teachers, that you own that instead.
Yeah, I mean, like a franchise, and sure, but then I have to monitor the franchise and make sure people are being honest about everything. And then also, if they do something wrong, then I'm responsible. Like it comes back to me.
Of course. I mean, you can teach the providers, but you can also have a teacher trainer program.
Yeah.
To teach others to become teacher trainers.
I've had two people that I mentored that were going in that direction, and then they just decided it was better to just rip me off. So it's I don't know. It's a tricky space, and I don't know if this is the right forum to discuss it.
Well, if you're ever considering
I just had a teacher who does breathwork certifications, right? He signed up for my certification course online, but he didn't sign up for the whole course. He just signed up for one of them, right? So he just wanted the information to take it, to put it in his course. And I revoked his access to the program, and I sent him a nice email, and I refunded his money back. And I said, hey, you know, I think it's obvious as to why I don't want you in my program. You're going to just take the information and put it in your program. And it's copywritten information. So, you know, I don't want to have to get into some legal dispute with you, right? I'd rather just not go there.
Yeah.
And I just sent him a nice email like that. And 3 days later, he tried to sign up again under a different name. And I saw his payment processor and the name, and like, I figured out it was him. It was blatantly obvious. So I just revoked his access again. And I just, then I had to send him more, we'll call it a raw email, you know, of like, dude, cut it out. Like, this is out of integrity. You're obviously trying to steal from me at this point. Right. Yeah. And it's kind of lame. You know, when I was working in Hollywood, I kind of expected that stuff. You know, I got some screenplays stolen from me and made into a movie, and that's Hollywood. Like, you know, that's going to happen. And when I was a personal trainer, I went to the bathroom one time, and one of the other trainers ran up to my client and gave him a card. And he's like, I'll give you a better deal than John Paul. And so that's the environment I worked in. And so I'm used to that. But in the breathwork world, like, you think like, oh, everyone's spiritual and they're going to be enlightened and they're not going to rip you off. And that is just not the case at all. You know, I had someone copy and paste my entire thing for my class that I wrote, like the whole page. And all they changed was from my name to their name. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, what is this?
People are amazing.
Yeah, I think in part of it too is like there's a little bit of the younger generation doesn't see any problem with it. They're like the copy and paste generation, I call them. Like, they'll like take your thing, they'll take your video, whatever you just said in your video, and they'll go say the same thing in their video, like they said it. It's weird, and that's my challenge as a teacher right now. If you were like, John Paul, where are you challenged? I'm like, I'm challenged with people just ripping me off, not giving me any credit, and operating out of integrity. Like, that's probably my biggest thing today. Like, how do I, and some people be like, oh, well, copying is the biggest form of flattery. I'm like, no, it's just, they don't respect boundaries and they are just stealing. For me, it's just stealing. It's not flattery.
Yeah.
How would you say, like, how does your students teach the breathwork? Is it like your style, or do they put their own personal flavor to it, or how does that look like, you know? Because I know
that's a great question. Yeah. So what I tell my students is, I say, listen, you can use my style and how I do it and my whole format, and I have a script now in the training. Like, you know, if you guys go back in the training, I rebooted the whole training. I spent a ton of 6 months of time and energy and money filming the trainings again and rebooting them. And I have a script in there that like is a whole page. It's about 3 minutes long. And I say, this is what I want you to say at the beginning of the class, you know? And then in my in-person, I have the students do that over the 4 days. So they know exactly what to say. So I give you everything to say in a session or in a class or in a group, which is great. And I give you the formula to make the playlist. And I give you the playlist if you want the playlist. I give you everything. You can be me. You can copy me. But you can't say you created it. You didn't create it. You're doing my style of breath work, right? And then you can't copy the training and train other people and say you created it. So I think it's pretty fair. I think I'm trying to create great, amazing breathwork teachers to take people through sessions, to take people through classes and groups, and to do retreats and to do what you guys are doing, right? Like, that's what I'm teaching you to do. I've had people reach out and go, hey, I saw your breathwork training. I've never done breathwork before, but if I take your training, can I then lead my own teacher trainings afterwards? And I'm like, wait, so you want to skip doing the sessions and the classes with people and just immediately be the breathwork trainer? Like, that's just about ego and money.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to help people.
Yeah.
Like, you're not for me, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen a lot in that sphere in general, and I think, you know, it's a lack of like, our work is really connection, right? That you're connected to yourself. I'm not just coming from, this is a good idea, but I'm not really teaching from an honest place to myself.
Yes.
And
yeah, and also, that's the ego, right? My ego is not my amigo. So I see it kind of go one of two directions with people when they start doing the breath work. Like, you guys just had a big class, right? So you can see where your ego wants to almost take over and be like, I'm the thing, I'm the guru, I'm the breath work guru now because I helped all these people in the room. It's like, no, you help facilitate that. And the breath work is the thing. Like, that's what I have to constantly, you have to be right sized. You have to get yourself back that my ego is not my amigo. But I see some people, some students and people who start to do that and they get these big classes and then they become the guru and their ego takes over. And then you kind of, it's a bad road to start heading down. And it's only a matter of time, you know, and then people want to knock you off a pedestal. Like, or put you on a pedestal. I just did a video the other day that's like, people are surprised if I get like irritated or annoyed or I say something, you know, that I'm angry. The people, not my wife or the people that know me, they already know that. They know that side of me. But people who don't know me are surprised. And they're like, wait, you're like the breathwork guy. I'm like, yeah, I'm a fucking human being. Sorry for the language. I get annoyed. I get angry. Like, that's a human experience. And sometimes anger is an appropriate emotion for the situation. And I'm allowing that to come up and be appropriate. And guess what? Now I have a tool called breathwork that I can go and clear that anger out of me so it doesn't live inside of me. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to not get angry sometimes. I'm not going to not have these emotions. I'm not living in the Himalayas in a loincloth sitting on a mountain meditating all day long. I'm living in the world with people and things that happen. You know, it's just not realistic.
No, I think I mean, we work deep with people. People come to us for a long period of time or, you know, they want to work through things. And one of the biggest things is that people kind of need to understand that it's about sailing the ocean of life. Things are going to happen. It's not like you do all the work and then it's peace from forever. It's like, but it's about what you do with that and what tools do you have and what, like what you need to kind of create your own container and your own kind of harmony inside to be able to navigate, because things are going to happen. And I mean, especially when you live in the world.
Yeah. And I say, like, you can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to, you know, be happy. Yeah. And guess what? Happiness isn't an indicator that your life isn't not good because you're not happy all the time. I think that's the mistake a lot of people are making out there, is that I'm not happy all the time, so something must be wrong. Well, you're not supposed to be happy all the time. It's an emotion that comes and goes, right? Like wind, like clouds in a windy sky. So purpose and fulfillment is a much better thing to strive for. If you can find something that gives you purpose, if you can find something that gives you fulfillment, then it's going to sustain you to those times where you're not happy.
Yeah.
And, right. And so I think that's the key to look for. And I think that people are really kind of missing that, you know, or because maybe it's social media, or, you know, they're looking on social media and they're like, wow, this person's life looks amazing. Well, that person's life still has problems that you're not seeing on that, you know, Instagram grid.
Yeah.
You know, they're not happy all the time. In fact, they might be miserable. And I, you know, I learned that. I worked with some of the biggest celebrities on the planet, some of the most successful people on the planet that had hundreds of millions of dollars and everything. And they were completely miserable, completely and utterly miserable and lost.
Yeah. I mean, it's an inside journey. That's what it is. Yeah. I also feel that people are on very different journeys. So for some people, that's not going to be available at all. And for some people, it is available. So one of the things that I'm very interested at the moment is, how does people know that this transformation is available to them? Like, identifying, like, do I have that spark or do I not? Because if someone has that spark, they can go all the way and just transform their whole life.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You have to kind of shock the system a little bit, right? Yeah. So there's a thing that's called the hedonic treadmill. And what that is it's like an even, it's like, this is your layer. This is your level of where you feel in your life. And it works for us in both ways. Meaning, if you go out and you do a bunch of drugs and you have a bad night or something horrible happens and you're like, this is your normal level and you're way down here after that terrible night, eventually you'll rise back up to that level. okay, yeah. So that you're okay. But if you have something amazing that happens to you and then it brings it up here and that's amazing, we want to stay up here, it brings us back down again. Mm-hmm. And that's a bummer for people. I feel like breath work is one of the few things out there that can reset that and bring it up to a different level, your baseline of where your life is. Yeah. So that's what it's done for me. I've watched it do it for other people. And so, and then you gotta keep doing the work in certain areas. Right. Like Tony Robbins talks about this a little bit. He says, you gotta, you know, a little bit of growth is all it takes for you to feel like you're improving and your life is good. So keep doing the work, keep finding the things. Breath work will give you a big shift, a big transformation if you're willing to show up and do it. And then what? Because I've had people come to my classes and they're like, oh my God, that was the most amazing thing. I'm going to be here every week. And then I never see them again. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know where they went. And then I've had other people come and they're like just bawling the whole class. And like, I see them on the way out and they give me a hug or whatever. And then I see them the next week and I see them the next week. There was a woman, God, I always think of this woman. She cried every class for 9 months. And she said to me, like, when am I going to be done? I said, you're done when you're done, honey. And then there was this huge shift in her and she was just glowing in the light and the smile. And it was like, she was a different person. And then she showed up with a new man. It was just like, and everything shifted for her. Yeah. And it doesn't mean you're going to get the new man from breathwork. I'm not saying that. I'm not making that promise.
Okay. That's what we're going to name this episode. How to get your man.
It's just like, I watched her transform, but the beautiful thing about her is she kept showing up through the tears every week. And she had all this stuff she had to clear out of her. And that was my experience too. So, but what was so beautiful about her is she was willing to show up for herself week after week, after week, after week, and just keep doing the work and just keep hoping that there was something on the other side of it for her, which there was. And some people, a very small amount of people show up and they're like, oh my God, like they breathe and it's just bliss and love. Those few lucky motherfuckers. There's only a few of them. And you're like, oh, great. They're like, yeah, no, I just feel gratitude and love. I'm like, great. I feel that afterwards, but like I had to go through a lot to get there. Right. Yeah. And, but some people don't. Some people are like, they're already clean and they just come and they show up. The most common thing is that people think they've done the work. I was one of these people. I've done all the work. I've done all the therapy. I've done all the 12 step. I've done all the work. And then they lay down and breathe and there's all this shit comes up and they're like, oh, there's so much more inside of me that I had no idea was just living in my tissues, living inside my nervous system that needs to get cleared out. Yeah. And so I tell people, like, if you have a big experience, like, great. Like, keep doing it until all that's gone. Yeah. And now you're not going to be out there reacting in the world inappropriately for the situation, because people have a situation that happens and they have this huge reaction to it. Yeah. Well, that's their trauma. That's their past. They're reacting out of their trauma in their past. They're triggering the trauma in the past. And when you do the breath work, you clear all that out of you and then you have an appropriate reaction to the situation. Mm.
Yeah, I feel some people are coming to the breathwork for the experience, like, oh, I want to have that big experience, but that's not all the time.
Yeah.
For me, the breathwork is like, as you said, like for this woman, like the tool that she was showing up every week, no matter what the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a tool to help you clean. It's not about exactly how you feel in that, oh, I had this massive download, or oh, I had this massive breakthrough. It's the work.
It's exercise.
Yes.
It's exercise for your soul. Like, you know, you don't show up to the gym and be like, oh my God, I need that incredible workout that I had, you know, 6 months ago or whatever. It's I'm going in to take care of this mind, body, soul, right? Yeah. I'm going to take care of this area. I want to clear out the emotions. I want to clear out the stuff. And so it's a tool. It's a technique. It's an exercise by which you take care of yourself. Mm. And yes, people have these big experiences in there, and I've had tons of them. And then they want to chase the big experience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a teacher that used to say, you get what you get and you love it no matter what. And then they want to come up and tell me after class, well, like, oh, that was great. But, you know, two classes ago, this thing happened to me. And I'm like, oh, God, great story. You know, like, it's up to you. You know what? Or if some people come and they do the work for a while and have a great experience and it shifts everything. And then they go away and then life happens and then they come back and they start to do the work again.
Yeah,
that's a pretty common theme that I see a lot, too. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, whatever journey you're on is okay as long as you're on a journey.
Yeah.
As long as you're on the path, somewhere on the path.
Yeah.
I joke all the time. I'm like, I'm just a guide on the path. And I'm going, like, I'm looking back and I'm like, no, no, look out for the rock. You know, oh, no, wait, that's not the love of your life. That's a rattlesnake. No, don't get the rattlesnake's name tattooed on your neck. That's a now you've got the name tattooed on your neck. You know, it's just like, I'm just like guiding them and they're going to do what they're going to fucking do no matter what. And I can't. Okay. You know, so.
Yeah. I mean, we got to allow people to be on their journey, whatever journey that is. And that's
meet them where they are. But at the same time, as a teacher for me, if you come to me for help, if you come to me and you're hungry, and I give you some fruit and then you just like you put the fruit down and you don't eat it and then you come back for more fruit, I'm going to be like, no, 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 no. You didn't eat the fruit that I gave you.
Yeah.
So when you go eat that fruit, then come back to me.
Yeah.
Because you can't want it for people more than they want it for themselves.
No.
And you can't force anyone to change. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that sometimes, especially when it's people that I am close to and that I like.
The hardest to help are the people that you love, you know, your family and your close friends and your partner. Like, forget it. You know, you can't, it doesn't work that way. You know, it's easy to help a total stranger off the street.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if people want help, then we are here. And we know how to do it, and their results are amazing. But only
I hope somebody finds this, watches this, and goes, "I'm ready. I want the help." And comes to you guys, and comes to Thailand, and stays there, and has this incredible experience with you guys, which I know they will.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
it's been very nice. We at some point we will come to Bend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love that. I would love to come to Thailand. I don't think I can handle the flight right now. That's the hard part about Bend, you know, is looking at other places to do retreats, you know, and it's like, it's an extra leg of flight. And so it's so hard, you know, I can't handle the long flights like I used to.
Yeah.
You would think the last like 50 years of aviation, they would have like, advanced a little bit more with flight times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can't this thing go any faster? No, but if you ever come to Thailand, you have to check us out.
I will for sure. I would love to spend some time with you guys up there in Chiang Mai. I've been to Thailand a bunch of times, but I haven't been up north, which is crazy. So
it's very different.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's very different. It's more wild, wild west in the south.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's the ocean and it's the island life and it's the tourists. And up here, it's like there's no ocean. There's no beach. It's just mountains and
I live in the mountains here, which is nice.
Yeah, it's too. Super grounded.
Different kinds of mountains. But I feel grounded in the mountains.
Me too. I love it.
The ocean is nice and it's beautiful, but it can be very ungrounding.
Yeah.
It is
right.
Yeah,
because it's the waves.
It never stops.
Yeah, the
you
waves.
You don't get a break.
Yeah.
Totally. No, but it never stops. It's like wow.
Yeah, and we're affected. You know, we're 67% water ourselves, and just like the tides are affected by the moon, so are we, right? And so, I feel much more grounded in a mountain area.
Yeah, me too. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, you guys. It's been so great.
Yeah.
How do people find you, by the way, before we finish?
Oh, yeah. So I have a couple websites. The main one is Breathe with JP, right? Breathe, B-R-E-A-T-H-E. People forget the E, with, W-I-T-H-J-P.com. And then my courses, my online courses, are breathworkteachertraining.com. And if you go to Breathe with JP, that has, I think, links to everything. I'm on Instagram and Facebook and all those social media networks. I'm on all those. I'll probably start doing dances on TikTok pretty soon. And, that's how you find me. Yeah. Yep. Come find me.
Very cool. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful afternoon.
You too.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Ciao.
Did you stop the recording?